We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, is just fucking exploring love with people because there's no answers to why I'm single. I've been searching, who fucking knows? My guest today is a hilarious stand-up comedian who you've seen perform on Late Night with Seth Meyers and The Late Late Show with James Corden. His new special, Don't You Know Who I Am, is now streaming on YouTube. And I know this person, they're great. It's Kenny DeForest!
Wow.
Bow, bow,
bow, bow, bow, bow, bow, bow, bow, bow, bow, bow, bow, bow. Woo! Thank you for that saucy intro.
Hi, Kenny.
Hello. How are you? I dropped something. Who cares?
What did you
drop? It's so good to be here. James Corden. I liked that. James Corden Blue. So fancy.
You know, sometimes you got to just surprise yourself and say words in a fun way and have a nice time.
I like having a nice time. I'm doing really good. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. The audience can't hear it, but the room you're in is very fun. And it's putting me in a fun room. I like looking at your wallpaper.
Thank you. I have talked about it on this podcast, but I will tell you, it took me like 16 hours to put up this peel and stick wallpaper myself. There's gaps in it. I did bad. I lost a plate that goes over the plug. I don't know where the fuck I put it. I don't know why I took it off. You know, life is good.
Life is good, and sometimes you have to fail so that you can try again and succeed.
Yes. Just like the great late Aaliyah said, dust yourself off, try again.
Yeah, she did say that.
I have a question. So you grew up in Springfield, Missouri, which is the same town as Brad Pitt. Is Brad Pitt like a hometown hero? Do people talk about him? Do people like know him?
People definitely know that he's from there. His brother still lives there and kind of looks like him, but sells office supplies. So it's kind of funny to like, and also his name is Doug, which like is kind of the name you would make up if you were creating a brother of Brad Pitt. You'd be like, Doug Pitt sells copiers. It's what he does. He's a very nice man. He's a local business leader. But we are very proud of Brad Pitt being from there. He also went to my high school, so I have literally no shot of being the most famous person from not only my hometown, but my high school. Yeah, it's a bummer.
Listen, life isn't done. You still have life to live. You could be more famous than Brad Pitt, theoretically, because the world hasn't ended yet.
That's a good point. I have about 15 sexiest man of the year awards to, so I got to get going here.
You got to get it going. You got to get started.
Come on.
I once was like, I was talking to my dad. This is so long ago. And I was like, I want to be the most famous person from our town. He's like, not going to happen because no Sean Marino's in the NFL. And I was like, okay, cool. We had someone from my high school, no Sean Marino, went to the NFL. I don't know if he's still in the NFL.
He's not. And guess what? You're more famous than no Sean Marino.
Who knows? I don't know. Maybe in some circles, but maybe in others. I don't know.
I know. I know Sean. I know Sean. You Moreno famous. I know Sean, that for sure.
It's also such a weird thought to be like, who's going to be more famous? Wait, Kenny, you're an only child. What the fuck was that like?
I'm a weird dude, man. I don't know. I used to like sing to myself. Like I would just bust in a song. Here's the most cursed image. I would play catch with myself in the yard.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So would you throw the ball and then run after the ball and be like, got it?
Yeah, I would throw a football as high and deep as I could, and I would sprint down the street and I would catch it, and all the neighbors would look out the window and say, look at that poor lonely boy.
That lonely boy needs a brother or sister or sibling, just something.
Just somebody, so he stops singing opera in the yard and bothering all of our quiet families.
Were you like a bother in the neighborhood? Did you like go be like, can so-and-so come out and play? Hey, what are you guys doing?
I was obsessively finding people to play with. Yeah, I would show up. Also ADHD, hyper little kid. I'm like, you know, like I knocked on your door like, it wasn't even like a calm, like, you know, knock, knock. It was like, can Austin come out and play? What about Will? Let's play anything. I'll do anything at all. I'll do any game at all. I'll be the bad guy. I'll be the good guy. You can put me in a hole and put dirt on me. I'll do anything you want. Please just speak to me.
Did you watch The Curious Case of Natalia Grace?
No.
It's a documentary on Max. And it's about a little person who was adopted, and then the family was like, she's not a little person who's a child. She's a little person who's an adult. And then they like got her an apartment to live by herself because they were like, this adult can't live with our kids. And then everyone in this like community she lived in was like, she was so fucking annoying. This adult was knocking on the door, asking to play with our kids. And I was like, doesn't sound like an adult. That sounds like a fucking kid who's lonely.
Yeah.
It's an insane documentary. You have to watch it.
I heard about this story. I will absolutely watch it. I remember the story when it came out, and I was like, are they certain it's an adult?
I mean,
like, that's a huge...
I think she was a child. I think she was slightly older than what they thought, but she was definitely a child. And she's from Ukraine, and now she has, like... She is a black stepdad, so now she's got, like, a black scent and is from Ukraine, and it's wild to listen to.
That's fantastic.
You gotta watch it. Okay, Kenny, I have a question about love.
Yes.
Do you remember your first girlfriend?
Yeah.
Were you like a ladies' man in school?
No, I was a nervous weirdo that would wring my hands like little towels anytime girls were around because I was so nervous. I'd sweat and stutter, and I'd lick my braces and prepare.
Ew.
And I would break into an accent such as this. You know, I was always like really nervous around girls. In middle school and high school. But my first girlfriend, here's how long it took me. We started having crushes on each other in seventh grade, and we did not date until our senior year of high school. It took me 6 years to get a girl that I knew to like me to be my girlfriend. So, and you know what? Actually, you know what? Let's back it up. My first actual girlfriend was in seventh grade, but then... She said she would be my girlfriend. I think I asked her on the phone or I left a note in her locker. I might be conflating two stories. But then speaking to her made me so nervous that I never went to her locker. I never talked. For 2 weeks, I didn't speak to her. And then she said, it doesn't really feel like you're my boyfriend. So I had a 2-week relationship where no words were exchanged. So that was my first girlfriend.
Do you remember why you didn't want to speak to her and like why you avoided her?
Oh, man, girls just scared me so much. There was like a very deep fear of rejection and humiliation. I was always just convinced that I would be like, I like you. And they'd be like, you're a bad guy. We all talk about it. We want you dead.
But she agreed to be your girlfriend. So
correct.
That wouldn't happen. I guess it's hard to like negative self-talk, it's hard to like overcome it and be like, no, this person actually does like me.
Yeah, I think everyone hates me, yeah.
That's a tough space to live in.
It is, it's hard. It's so hard, I'm so tired.
I mean, it is exhausting being like, does this person hate me? I find myself to be a people pleaser sometimes, a lot of times. But it's not so they don't hate me. I'm just like, I just want everyone to like have a nice time and be happy. But the girl that you dated your senior year, how long did you guys date?
1 year.
Okay.
We did it for all of our senior year. And I was the captain of the basketball team and she was the cheerleader. And we were just living that nice storybook.
Just, you know, I'm trying to remember the name of the show. Dawson's Creek.
We were having a nice Dawson's Creek time.
Were you like homecoming king and queen and shit?
No. No, we were not. I was nominated for LPA king, though. Ladies pay all. See, this is what's hilarious of me thinking everyone hates me. There was literally a mountain of evidence that I was well-liked and popular. But you could not have told me that. And I do think maybe to your question about why I didn't speak to my seventh grade girlfriend, the only child thing is probably part of it. Like, I had no practice speaking to girls that weren't my mother. I had no sister. I didn't have siblings that had friends over. So I just had no experience with it whatsoever. And so I just didn't know what to do. I just knew girls liked different things, but I didn't know what those were. So I was like, I don't know. You want to play Transformers?
That's kind of funny that nobody was like, just ask them what they like.
Right.
Just have a conversation. Just ask them what they like. Do you remember your like first play date? So I wasn't an only child. That's why I have so many questions about it. I like truly don't understand not having someone in the house to be like, hey, wake up and fucking play with me.
I could see you saying it exactly like that. And I would be so excited. I would have been your best friend. I would have been like, I'll fucking play with you right fucking now. Let's fucking go.
I mean, it truly wasn't far off. I would go into my sister's room all the time and she'd be like, can I have privacy? And I'm like, get privacy when you move out. I was just in everybody's business. But was being an only child, was it like lonely or no?
Yeah, it could be. My parents were very pro me having like sleepovers and like having friends over. They really tried to be accommodating in that way because they didn't want me to be a little weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, to answer the first play date question, I was in kindergarten or first grade, and there was a kid on the bus that I had a conversation with, and I saw where he lived. Like, he got off the bus, and I saw what house he went in, and I asked my mom, I said, can I go ask Austin Barkley to play? Or actually, I think I asked her to call his house, and she was like, you have to do it. So I went over there and gave that really hyper knock, knock, knock. And then his mom answered the door. And my memory is insane that I actually remember this. But he came to the door and he was playing with one of those toy vacuum cleaners where the little color balls bounce around when you rolled across the floor. And he was like, yeah, I'll play with you. And I was like, let's fucking go. And we were like best friends until he moved to a new school district.
Oh, no. But honestly, that's like a nice memory. I'm glad that you remember that. Yeah. I wonder if he's thinking about that right now. He's like, oh, man, I love that vacuum. And then my new best friend came over and we vacuumed together. Okay, your first relationship was senior year of high school. What's like your first real relationship where you're like, oh, this is like a serious thing and I'm going to bring them home to my parents? Or you're just like, it's a serious thing?
Probably the high school girlfriend. That was like, even though it's a high school relationship, at the time it felt very serious. And you got to keep in mind that I grew up in the Bible Belt. So like, you legitimately start being like, well, I guess it's time to settle down. I'm 18 after all. Probably time to put a ring on it so we can start a family. And I don't want to have a geriatric pregnancy at 21. And so that one was probably my first. And then to be honest, I had a college girlfriend that was great. She was really nice. We dated for a year, but I didn't want to be in a relationship. I just wanted to be single for a long time. I dated a girl in Chicago for a year. That was really cool and fun. She's a great girl. We're still friends.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, I think once I started comedy in particular, I was like, I'm not going to put a woman through dating an open mic comedian. So, you know, like, I was just like, this isn't there's no, other than other comedians, there's no woman on this planet that wants anything to do with this. She thinks she does. She doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the high school girlfriend was very serious. And then after that, it was just kind of a series of kind of like just dating, having fun, but not really serious. Yeah.
Do you currently have and have you had chuckle fuckers? I ask all comedians this because I feel like men or male-identifying people have the most chuckle fuckers.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I feel like, and I have permission to be vague about this, but, you know, as you know, I dated a friend of yours for a long time, and it was, you know, a very long relationship. And I actually feel like in some ways I've evolved past, like, the vibe that I put out now. Like, a girl might see my act and then, and be like, oh, I kind of want to fuck that guy. But then, like, I used to have a real fuckboy vibe, and I had a great time. Mm-hmm. When I first started comedy, it was great, and everybody was on the same page. But I think, like, I'm actually working a bit about this right now, where I'm, like, not so much single as I'm a boyfriend without a girlfriend, because I was with someone for so long.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just, you know, I'm going to listen to you talk about your day. I'm going to be like, your coworker said what to you? You don't, you know, and I'm going to stroke your hair and kiss your forehead. And that's not one night stand material. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. No, that makes sense. Also, I do feel like some people don't grow out of it, you know, like being a fuckboy, fucking whoever. And then some people do. Like, I was in Home Goods the other day and I was like, should I buy pumpkins and decorate my house for the fall? And I was like, who is she? What are you doing? Turning into my mother.
It flips. But, you know, I think part of it too is like, and I have, by the way, I've had some fun, and like, definitely being a male comedian is silly. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I can check my DMs at any time, and if I've just been in a city, there's a good chance somebody's at least going to say, great show. And I've actually learned that that is flirting. I didn't realize that. I used to always just like reply to that and be like, thank you. I didn't realize that, like, of course, if you're DMing me, it's probably some flirtation. You're probably not just telling me good show. Trying to smash.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not painting myself as a saint here. I've had a nice time. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I don't know. It's I just think my vibe has shifted. It was, I guess, to answer your question more succinctly, earlier in my career, it was more so because I was kind of like a party boy mess. I kind of like, I had the vibe of a guy that you might want to be with for one night, but probably not much longer than that. And then now I've done a lot of work on myself. And I think, you know, I'm in my late 30s too. So a lot of the women that are interested are probably like closer to my age and like, kind of like, are you the one that takes me off Tinder? You know, I think everyone that, all the women I talk to now are very tired.
Yeah. I mean, know. I'm fully exhausted. Are you on the apps currently?
No, I did when I first got single, and then I just forgot how exhausting it is. And it takes so much of your focus. Because it's addicting. Swiping is more addicting than any social media I've ever been a part of in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like, it's just an endless parade of faces that might want to hook up with you or might, you know, and you just, it's like so addicting. You're just like, is it you? 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 And then you're like looking at your profile. You're like, maybe my profile is wrong. And you're editing your profile. And then you're typing and then deleting and then typing messages. And then, I don't want to say it that way. And, blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, like an hour and a half has passed. And it's like, I should probably focus on getting my career where I want it to be and not Tinder.
Yeah, I matched with this guy and he was like, let's go out. And then I was in a weird place, so I was like, let's not go out. And then I was like, you know what? Let's go out. And he was like, okay, let's do it. And then I didn't hear from him for a little bit. And then he was like, oh no, I got the flu. And I said, oh, okay. And then he was like, but we will reschedule. And I said, all right. And then didn't hear from him for a while. Then he was like, oh no, my friend's not doing too good. I got to help him out. And I was like, oh, okay. And I still haven't heard from him for a while. And I'm like, I hope he reaches out again. And he's like, oh no, a bomb went off in my house. I got to rebuild my home. And I kind of hope it never stops. And every time he reaches out, it's just like heightened to the point where he's like, I'm Bugs Bunny and I can't get out of the cartoon.
I took a wrong turn at Albuquerque. I can't come pick you up at 8. Yeah, that's insane. I'm sorry, but also probably for the best. And that's at least a little entertaining.
Yeah, I guess. Dating is honestly a hellscape. I wish it on nobody. So, okay, when you were you the one who broke up with your high school girlfriend and your college girlfriend?
My high school girlfriend cheated on me. That was very scarring, and I feel dumb talking about this now at 37 because I have. If anyone that knows me is listening to this, I promise you, it is water under the bridge. But in the context of this conversation, it was like obviously like catastrophic at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then because hurt people hurt people, yeah. I went on to then cheat on my college girlfriend.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Yeah. But I learned from that experience that I'm bad. I can't cheat. The Catholic guilt that lingers in my soul is too strong. And I confessed, even though I cheated in Chicago, Illinois, with a woman she never would ever meet or talk to, but I just had to tell her. I had to let her know and clear my conscience.
I don't think I could cheat because I talk so much and I tell people all my business. Like, I would definitely be like, well, what I did last night was bad. But also, if I was, like, cheating with someone, I'd be like, I do have some partner and I'm being bad. Like, I'm just not good at shutting up.
Yeah, I'm the same. We have similar brains. We've talked about this before. I feel like ADD is part, like, ADD people are terrible liars because it's like whatever comes up comes out. Mm-hmm. It's like whatever's on my mind, I'm letting you know. And I think I have this poker face. I just don't, because I'm just like pinging around in my brain and my face is adjusting to every thought. It's not good.
Yeah, it's terrible. I once went to this wine tasting and I didn't really love the wine person. I thought they were very corny and annoying. And I thought I had a poker face the whole time, but also I had a couple drinks in me. And everyone after we left was like, Nicole, you are on your worst behavior. You kept rolling your eyes. You were making faces. And I was like, who, me? And like, don't act dumb. And I was like, I'm not acting dumb. I really thought I had a poker face. I have nothing of the sort. Simply just whatever's on my face is on my face, and I am telegraphing it.
Yeah, there was a comedian one time that became friends with a friend of mine, and my friend who knew this comedian goes, hey, why do you hate so-and-so? And I go, I don't hate so-and-so. I go, why would he say that? He goes, because of your face every time he comes around. And I was like, oh, well, oops. I guess that makes sense. I've outed myself.
How do you get over a breakup? Like, how... Like, in your earlier years, how did you get over it? Were you just like...
In my earlier years, unhealthily, kind of that classic, like, the only way to get over a woman is to get under another.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's the thing. I was single for a long time in my 20s, kind of by design, like I said. I you know, and honestly, part of that's Bible Belt thinking. Sorry for a tangent, but, like, in my head, I was like, well, I'm, of course, going to get married one day and have children, so I should have as much mm-hmm. fun as I can right now. I need to get this all out of my system. So I kind of did that. And then I think after this more recent breakup, I thought that's what I would be doing. And that's kind of where I've learned, like, no, you evolve so much as a person during the duration of this long-term relationship. Like, you know, I was in therapy for the first time throughout that relationship. I started meditating. You know, I got sober and then relapsed, and now I'm back on the wagon. But
congrats. That shit's really hard. And I think more people should acknowledge how hard it is to be sober and or choose a different vice. I don't know. I'm a firm believer in, like, not everyone can be sober. But if you can be, that's incredible. So, congrats.
And to be clear, my big thing is alcohol is the gateway to everything else. And, you know, I'm still allowing myself to, like, smoke a little weed if I need to, if I'm at a social event and I need to do something. But I'm also really trying to, like, I used to smoke weed all day, every day, and I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe one day I'll stop entirely. But I agree with you. I think part of what happens when people talk about sobriety is there's like this pressure to be perfectly sober or whatever, but it's like, I think more people should be nuanced about it. It's fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was completely, truly 100% sober for several months during pandemic, no weed, no booze. And then I started smoking again. And then after the breakup, I was like, I can drink and I'm single and how am I going to date? And I've learned to control it. And then, you know, I can't. I just simply can't.
And that is a hard thing to acknowledge, and that's a hard thing to accept. And I feel like a lot of vices should be like an ongoing conversation with either yourself or like a therapist or whatever. And it's like, well, I'm going to try this again. And then I think also you have to go, why do I want to try this again?
Well, because you know what? It's like when you get like a psychiatric medication, right? And mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, for the first time in your life, you're not depressed, right? But then mm-hmm. 6 months go by and you start to forget how you used to feel. And you go, well, I'm doing really good. I don't need to take my medication.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stop and then you go, whoopsies. And then you have to start all over again I think it's the same. Like the more distance you get between yourself and the reason you decided to stop, the disease or whatever you want to call it, your demons, they don't remind you why you quit. They say they want you to forget and to be like, oh, it's fine.
It's fine. Don't worry. Let's fucking party. Real quick, Kenny, we have to take a break. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about. And thank God I have a podcast. But then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist. And listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DateMe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DateMe. Oh, Kenny, we're back.
That was terrific.
Oh, thank you. I think I've probably talked about it on this podcast, but in my early 20s, I was living in New York, and I loved drinking. I loved getting shit-faced. And then truly on Instagram, I saw this thing that was like, people with ADHD like to drink because the people around them start to act like them. They are less inhibited the way that people with ADHD do things like either compulsively or impulsively. And I was like, oh my fucking God. And then the next time I was drinking, I like noticed it. I noticed people being more like, oh, saying like da da da. And I was like, oh, and then I was like, oh, this is why I like this so much.
I just realized this is not a video podcast. If the audience can see my face, this just like bells are going off in my head. That's insane. And I think you're right. Because I knew ADHD people are prone to substances because we're trying to regulate this just nightmare of pinging thoughts and you know, just rapid flubber. My brain is flubber. It's the movie Flubber, and it's just you can't grab onto any of it. And but that's insane, and I think you're absolutely right.
You know, Instagram University has all the lessons you need.
Yeah, and we're also thrill seekers and dopamine deficient. That's the other thing I learned from Instagram. Yeah. That's what I learned. We're dopamine deficient. So that's why, like, anything, drugs, alcohol, porn, video games, anything that gives you a dopamine, social media. I mean, that's why I had to quit Twitter, because I would just sit there for 6 hours just, like, trying to think of a tweet. Like, I got to think of a good one. That one sucks. I got to get my dopamine. And it's insane. It's just, like, it's a deranged way to live your life. But if everyone's drunk, they understand.
They understand. They make mistakes. You're not embarrassed. Like, everything, everyone's on your level. And it is a wild thing to, like, live through every day. Yeah, I don't know about you. Every time I wake up, I have so many thoughts in my head, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I can get out of bed. And then I'm like, get out of bed and take your medicine, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's like I have 30 of the best movie ideas I've ever thought of in my life, and I've started writing one of them 6 years ago. You know, it's like that. It's just, it's like, how could I possibly write all of these great movies, you know? And it's just, yeah, the medicine is a godsend, and it's too bad there's a shortage right now. And I am waiting for open enrollment for healthcare in New York City.
New York, concrete jungle where dreams are made of. Kenny, I have a question.
Yes.
What are you looking for in your next relationship? Or do you plan on staying single for a while?
I do plan on staying single for a while. Oh, you know what? And this circles back to your last question of how I deal with a breakup. What I'm doing right now is I'm focusing on myself and trying to not need somebody. I'm living alone for the first time in my entire life. Through therapy, I realized some codependency that I've had my entire life, and I'd like to really address that and learn to actually be by myself. And, you know, because I was pursuing comedy, so I would always live as cheaply as humanly possible. So, like, I wasn't even really budgeting. I was just like, my rent is cheap. I make enough money at work. I don't think about money. But that's not enough. I got to, like, learn how to actually be alone. So I do want that, but then eventually I just want somebody. I need an independent person for sure, because I think an independent person is who really understands how much a comedian is gone. Like, I need you to have your own thing going on, your own passions, your own dreams. It can't be a thing where, like, if I miss your work happy hour, you're devastated. You know what I mean? Like, so it takes a special kind of person to deal with that, because, you know, people want to show off their partner and everything. And, like, obviously I'm the kind of person that will be there when I can, but I need someone to be understanding. But I want someone to be passionate about music in the same way that I am. That's a big one for me. I really love to sit and listen to records and, like, really, like, think about lyrics and songs and what they mean. And, like, I'm very passionate that way. And also, I need an outdoorsy person. I want someone that will go hiking and camping with me. And the hiking can be a little intense. Like, I want to climb mountains with you. You know what I mean? Whoever you are out there listening right now.
Wild.
And you have to be a listener of this podcast.
Yeah, you got to fucking listen to this. You got to like me. You got to be a fan of me. Boy, you lost me with hiking.
Oh, damn it.
I'm not an outdoors gal. Can't do that. Can't be outside. My whole thing is, whatever you see at the top of the mountain, you can look up and you see it just fine from the ground.
That's that's a very you theory. Are you from the part of Jersey that's like, basically, like, we're coming into New York City all the time? Are you from, because there's, like, outdoorsy Jersey, but then there's also like, there's, like, urban city Jersey.
I'm from, I guess it's, like, kind of outdoorsy. I'm from, like, very suburban Jersey. So it's like, if you speed 40 minutes from the city, if you take the train, it's like an hour 15.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
But you, so you weren't exposed to it when you were younger, right? Like, a lot of outdoors stuff. Yeah.
No, I don't. I feel like it might be like a black thing. Like, a lot of black people don't hike. And my mother was like an indoors woman. She loved being inside. She loved air conditioning and heat and amenities. And then my dad, I think he was, yeah, he was also like an indoors person.
Yeah, I find black people don't like to take a lot of unnecessary risks. I feel like there's an idea
that... I wonder
why.
Yeah.
Why don't we want to go tramping into the woods by ourselves? You know, where odd white people live and build their own houses out of found wood. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. In my half hour special, I have a joke about it. I was driving in Ohio, and the GPS literally took me into the woods, and then there was a dilapidated house that said free watermelon, and I was like, this is a trap for black people. This is a trap in the middle of the fucking woods for us, because I truly was like, ooh, free watermelon, and then I was like, don't stop, Nicole, no.
Free watermelon at the bottom of this hole. All you have to do is climb down and grab it.
Just come on in. We want to give it to you. How many long-term relationships have you had?
If you're talking longer than a year, just the one.
Oh. I've never had a long-term relationship. I've only had, like, one relationship. I think I can say that it was a relationship. And it's interesting because, like, being out of it, I'm like, huh, I thought I was very good at communication. Turns out the lie detector results are in. That was a lie. I'm very bad at communication. For someone who talks as fucking much as I do, I'm not good at communication.
I wonder, do you think that might be the people-pleasy part, where you're kind of afraid to vocalize what you actually need and want?
Absolutely. Because I'm like, if I tell you what you want, that might be in a disagreement with what you need and want. So I don't want that. So I'll just shut up.
Yeah, one of the giant revelations I had in therapy that I think contributed to my ex and I really deciding to go separate ways, and very amicably at that. But one time my therapist goes, what does Kenny want and need? And the fact that I was stumped by this question was like alarming.
Mm-hmm.
I truly had no answer. I like, you would have thought she asked me to write Latin. I just was like, what do you mean? I just need and want for her to like me and be happy and pleased. And I don't want to upset anyone. And then, yeah. And then it just occurred to me, like, I think we're very similar. We've talked about this a lot. It's why we're friends. But when you're like a people pleaser, I also think ADHD people tend to know that we're kind of hard to be with. So it's like, I'm always like, I'm like overcompensating for the fact that, like, I'm definitely going to forget to get groceries, and I'm for sure going to forget to do the dishes. And like, you know, so I'm like overcompensating by not needing anything from you ever. And, so yeah, that's I can relate to that, because you don't want to communicate it.
Sure don't. That is interesting, because I do think so. Like, I like me. I think I'm good, but I tend to think in like romantic relationships, people are just tolerating me, which is like a weird disconnect. Because it's like, well, if I like me and someone's dating me, clearly they do like me. But in my brain, I'm like, they're tolerating me for a certain amount of time, and then eventually they're going to move on, because that's the pattern that has been set in my life. But I do think it's like good to be like, well, what do I need and what do I want? And like, if this person goes away, it's not the end of the world.
100%. And, you know, everyone liking you is actually a bad thing. One of my favorite quotes, and obviously, listeners of this podcast might feel conflicted ways about this person, but Patrice O'Neill once said, if everybody...
I thought you were going to say Joe Rogan, and I was like, I think we all don't like him.
Yeah, hit space bar. Stop recording. Get him off this podcast. But, you know, obviously, Patrice had stances on women that probably a lot of listeners to this podcast do not appreciate.
Sure.
And I would say that I understand that. But he once said, if everybody likes you, nobody loves you. And
ooh,
I think about that all the time, because that just kind of means you have no teeth, you have no stance, you have no POV, right? Like, you should be alienating some people, especially if you're a public figure. And but then also in the world of dating, like, you shouldn't want everyone to want to date you, because that just means you're not actually revealing your true self, right? And that's what I'm trying to get better about, where it's like, no, this is who I am. And if you don't like it, that's fine. That just, honestly, that's good that I know that. Let's move on. So that's, you know, something I'm trying to take with me.
It's hard, though. It's really hard being your true self, because the last person I dated wasn't, like, super familiar with my comedy or anything, but they knew I was a comedian. And I remember, like, one of our early dates, they had come over, and I was, like, talking about my day. And I said, maybe I've mentioned this on the podcast, I don't know. But I was like, I'm sorry this isn't more entertaining to hear, to listen to. And they were like, well, you're not here to entertain me. I want to hear about your day. And I was like, huh. Oh. Oh, so I don't have to be this person who's on all the time. But then I would get, you know, people are moody. I'm a moody person. And they would go, are you grumpy right now? And I'm a people pleaser. And as real as I wanted to be, I was like, being grumpy isn't good. I want to make you happy. So I'd be like, no, I'm not grumpy. And they'd be like, well, why are you acting like this? And I'm like, I don't know why I'm acting. And then, like, in hindsight, I'm like, most of our arguments would have been solved if I had just said, I am grumpy. I'm grumpy and I need a second. Thank you for acknowledging that, like, there has been a change in my behavior. But, you know, hindsight's 2020, and I'm alone.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's a good thing I'm your guest today, because I relate to all of this. And I the same. And I think what I've realized reflecting on the relationship I just got out of is that was my first, like, real stab at it. Like, I had a couple girlfriends before, but, you know, the girl I dated in Chicago, like, we already knew I was moving to New York. We started dating, mm-hmm. before, but, like, it was like, I'm moving to New York in a year. Let's date till I leave, because we've always kind of had a spark and a thing for each other, and that'd be fun. And, but, like, there was, like, an expiration date on it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, of course it didn't, of course there was things that didn't work. This is my first actual attempt at it. You know, like anything, you have to learn from your experiences. And that is exactly what you're saying. Like, I'm the king of sitting there with my brow furrowed and my arms crossed. And what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. Why do you think something's mm-hmm. wrong? Is it just everything about me right now? Is that why you're asking me? Leave me alone. I'm just sulking, but it's not because I'm mad. It's because it's fun to sulk. Like, insane. You know what I mean? Just say it.
Yeah. And I think I had this idea that I was like, I can't have emotions because I have to be a good partner. And that's an insane thing to think. But that's, I really think I spent a long time with this person going, well, if they see that, like, I am moody, or, like, I do get angry about things, they're gonna leave. And then it's like, well, you didn't do those things, and they left anyway. So, like, maybe in your next relationship, you try to be fully yourself and fully an actual person and, like, communicate. And I'm reading this book called Calling in the One. Allegedly, after 7 weeks, I'm going to find the person of my dreams. That's what this lady says. And I had to go to Michael's and buy supplies, and I've made a vision board. But
let's go.
We're doing it. But the book was also like negativity and like being condescending. As a means of communication is actually, like, detrimental. And I was like, ah, okay. Because you know how you're like, oh, well, you should just know this. And then it's like a nasty thing that you're like, but you should just know this. I'm being honest. And it's like, are you being honest or are you being a dick? Like, did this person need to hear that you think this terrible thing about them? Or can you figure out a way to, like, work around it? I don't know. Relationships are really fucking hard. And it was my first one, so I guess I shouldn't be so hard on myself.
Yeah, it's really hard. And it's also, too, it's like, as much as you want to not lose yourself in a relationship for yourself, you got to think about it, too, for the other person. It can be overwhelming. Like, to be with someone who is kind of a doormat, which is basically what I realized I was at times, can mm-hmm. be a lot for them. Because it's like, no, dude, tell me what you need. Stop just, like, chameleoning yourself to make me happy. That's overwhelming. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to just drop your entire life to serve me. Like, that is also a lot for me. That's also overwhelming to me. I want you to have your thing going. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so it's kind of both. It's like, that was kind of a lightning, because, like, of course I'm not going to do it for me, but for her, I'll have needs. For her. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, we gotta take a break. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. How do you feel about telling jokes about the person that you used to date? Do you think you'll tell them about the jokes, or do you think you'll just do them?
I'm doing a set about it now, and I have run it all by her. Because I, you know, people think it's weird when you remain friends with your exes, but I think that is so bonkers. Like, if nothing happened other than two people growing apart, why would you, like, I understand giving yourself time and distance. Like, that's happening right now. Taking some time, taking some distance. But really the idea being to recalibrate our relationship to each other. Like, give some time for the pet names to fall out of your brain and for that, you know, so you can sort of redefine how you relate to each other. But, like, I spent 8.5 years with this person. Like, this is, why on earth would I be vindictive or try to burn all that to the ground? I mean, that's crazy to me. This person was the closest person in my life and knows everything about me. Like, why would I not want to maintain that friendship? And so I've run everything by her, and she appreciates that. She's even, you know, given me tags and, like, been like, oh, here's another funny thing you can say. And because I find too, even just comedically speaking, when there's too much venom, sometimes the audience doesn't like it. They're like, oh, who's this angry? This person should go to a therapist. Why are they screaming at us? Right? But, like, if you find a way to do it in a lighthearted way, not only are you processing it, but the audience can then relate. You know what I mean? And so, yes, I am talking about it. But what's interesting is I barely talked about her when we were together, which I think in my next relationship, I don't know if you have to talk about your life, but. We never fought, though. Most jokes are about fights. We didn't fight very much, so I didn't really have a lot of material.
I tell jokes about them, and there was a time where they were like, hey, I didn't like that joke. We haven't worked it out yet. And I was like, oh, you didn't like that I invited you to a show, told a joke about a problem we were having, and we haven't fixed it? Oh, okay. I get it. And the other jokes are, they're mostly about, like, me and me, how do you say it? Processing the breakup or whatever. But I do wonder if I should tell them that I tell these jokes. I don't know, because we're also taking some space.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah. I don't know. It depends on how many people in your group know who you're talking about, or the audience, mm-hmm. right? Like, for me, you know, this person was in our world, and so mm-hmm. I'm not worried about the audience knowing who it is, because we were very private, but I'm worried about, like, I don't want mutual friends of ours to see me up there. You know what I mean? So that's kind of why I took that extra. But I think most people probably don't know who you're talking about. But I mean, if you want to maintain just respect, then you can run it by them.
Okay. I think I might. When I'm ready, but I'm taking some space.
Yes, you have to take some space.
And then I've been trying to swipe on the fucking apps. I know you were like, oh, it takes like an hour. I'm only on them for like 5 minutes, and then I immediately get disheartened. I'm like, oh my God, will I ever find anybody ever again?
Yeah, man. But also, yeah, my response to that same feeling is just like, there's probably only one woman on this app who likes me, so I have to swipe until I find her. Everyone else thinks I'm a hideous monster.
I have to find the diamond in the rough. Okay, I have a question. Who got you into comedy? Was it your grandpa Joe, who is a great storyteller?
Wow. Thank you very much, Byron Allen. Yes, it was. Yeah, he was, yeah, growing up, he was, my mom's side of the family was super fun, and he would just, like, tell these stories, and he was just the funniest guy, and I think what I noticed was that towards the end of his life, I don't remember what the event was, I think it was my grandparents', like, 50th wedding anniversary or something like that, but a bunch of people came. And everybody's stories were about a time he made them laugh and how funny he was. And I just noticed, I was like, that is the mark this man left on the world. Like, it wasn't his job, you know, it wasn't, but it was like, he was so funny. And that's, it just stuck out to me. Like, something he said 30 years ago, a guy is still like, it's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And yeah, I think it just made me want to do that. And also, like, you know, there was like tension on my mom's side of the family that was always kind of there that I, even as a kid, I didn't fully understand and probably still don't. But when he would get to telling stories, I would just feel it all melt away. And it was like, and now everything's good and everyone's happy. And so, yeah, I think that was a part of it. And then also probably being cheated on in high school, I was like, oh, I got to do something with this. And honestly, to what we're just talking about, very vindictive when I first started, when I would talk about my ex and my breakup, and definitely did it in front of her on purpose, which is, I shudder to think about. I will scream. I scream myself awake at night thinking about it sometimes. But then now I'm like, look how much he's grown. Look how much he's grown. So yeah.
That's good. I'm glad that you've grown. Yeah, anytime I talk very poorly about someone on stage, it's usually nobody that anybody can figure out. But also, cheating on someone in high school is so wild. I remember, I don't know, I was pimply and weird looking, and I didn't fuck nobody in high school. But truly, like, balancing, like, you know, theater and track and field and all my classes, like, how would I, and then have a boyfriend and then cheat on that boyfriend. I mean, this bitch, she had it all together. She had time.
That's hilarious. Yeah, well, and also, it's like, yeah.
I mean, if you really think about it.
That's funny that you're jealous of her. Like, wow, she got two high school boys that wanted to fuck her? That's incredible.
That's wild. I would give anything for that.
Even now, two high school boys come to my guest house.
That's all I want, as long as they're 18. I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, it's, and it's also funny because it's like, to say cheated on is ridiculous. We were 18 years old. Like, who gives a shit? We should have been banging each other. We all should have been banging each other. You should all be exploring your sexuality. This idea that, like, you're mine at 18 is ridiculous. Now, obviously, there's, like, you want to be safe and feelings are involved and all of that. But, like, that's why I said it earlier when I even brought this up. Like, I feel ridiculous bringing this up now because I'm a 37-year-old man. You know what I mean? But, like, yeah, and it's like, I remember talking about, like, we'll go to college together and we'll get a house and we'll live together and then we'll get married. And I, of course, she was like, I gotta fuck that guy. This guy's too much.
I can't do this. I gotta go fuck Todd behind the bleachers. That's very funny to put that pressure on yourself in high school. But all, like, I feel like society puts that pressure on you from the time you, like, go through puberty. They're like, all right, find someone to love you. You better get married. You gotta have kids. And I don't think I want to get married anymore. I think I just want, like, a partner. I don't think I need the piece of paper unless, you know, we got to get on somebody's health insurance or something. And then I'm like, kids, yuck. I hung this wallpaper for 16 hours. I don't want some little gremlin with their grubby little fingers touching it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know about the whole marriage thing, too. I was engaged because I thought that's what you were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just never got married because it was like, do you want to plan a wedding? No. Do you want to plan a wedding? No. And then when we realized we'd grown apart, we were like, wow, we can just walk away, which is why we're still friends, because there was no lawyers. There was no arbitration. There was none of that shit. It was just like, okay, we're different people now. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
And that was I'm like so grateful because I have a friend going through a divorce and seeing that versus what I just went through, I'm like, dog, y'all are never going to talk again in any sort of kind terms ever after this based on what I'm seeing. And I've already seen my ex multiple times and it's been really nice because there was no fighting of any kind. You know what I mean? It's, yeah, I don't know about all that. I don't know about that piece of paper. Something changes.
So for whatever reason, I feel like you get that piece of paper and then it's just like, well, now it's of a different importance. And I guess it's also like when you put a label on a relationship, that sometimes makes people go crazy because they're like, well, now it means something else.
And also now legally your debt is my debt. Now legally.
Yeah, which is wild.
If you're committing a crime that I don't know about, I'm potentially implicated, right? If you're my girlfriend and you're defrauding the government, I'm not on the hook for that. But if you're my wife and you're committing tax fraud, even if I don't know about it, I'm implicated. So I think it's it elevates everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wild. I don't want to be married to anyone who does tax. Like, the IRS seems so scary. They only communicate via letters. That's power.
That's unhinged.
You don't gotta call nobody.
If somebody was doing that through a dating context, that might be romantic. But when it's vaguely threatening, it's like even scarier.
Uh-huh. You're like, oh my God, you paid for postage. We do have to wrap this up, but my assistant, Lindsay, is incredible, and she found the executive summary on your resume from 2014. She did write, not relevant, just made me laugh. Mr. DeForest is an upbeat, charismatic person who aims to create an environment of positivity and creativity wherever he is. A hard worker. Mr. DeForest is the sort of person who is quick to make friends, a man often referred to by older women as a card. He enjoys the outdoors, exercise, friendly chatter, and helping others. He hates cynicism and defeatist attitudes. He is sure to be an asset to any team he joins.
Oh, God. Do I still have a LinkedIn?
I think you do, and I think that's where Lindsay may have found it. Is incredible, and I love it so much.
Should I just copy and paste that into my dating profile?
Honestly, I was going to say you should put this on your Tinder or your Hinge or whatever. It's so funny.
Oh, my God.
A card.
A card. He's a card. Holy shnikes. I'm crawling in my skin right now, like Linkin Park.
Sorry about it. Okay, I ask all my guests this. Would you date me?
Yes. Yes,
yeah!
I would. Yes, I would.
Thank you, Kenny. Okay. Yes. We didn't talk about it, but you do have a special that is currently streaming on YouTube. Do you want to tell people a little bit about it before we go?
Yes, it's called Don't You Know Who I Am, which is a play on the closing bit. So if you want to know what that means, you have to watch it. It's basically my, to be quick about it, I played basketball growing up. I was very serious about it. And I kind of didn't realize I was onto something, but there I realized that a lot of athletes, especially boys, really struggle after sports is over because no one helps us deal with that. And you're very intense, and you're losing an identity, and you're losing so much more than just a game, right? And I lost a friend during COVID to an overdose, and I was like I felt like it never after basketball ended. I feel like that's kind of where the problems really started to spiral, and I started talking to other athletes that I knew, and everybody was like, "Yes, absolutely. If not them, someone they knew." And so I was like, let me just, I'm a comedian. Let me like put together a special that kind of chronicles my journey with it. And so that's kind of what it is. So it's like basketball, my sort of struggle afterwards, and then a redemption story at the end. And then there's an audio only album version that I released with Blonde Medicine that has 20 plus bonus minutes. And it's the first 20 minutes of the album. So, and there's actually me talking about my relationship a little bit in there. So if you watch the special and you want more, check out the album and you can just listen to the first 22 minutes and then that'll be all the bonus stuff.
Yay. And where can people find that?
The special's on my YouTube. It's free. There's mm-hmm. a really cool intro outro that I'm very proud of. And, the song is by Charlie Crockett, which I contractually must say as per my contract to use the song in my special. And also he's the best and that song rules. And so that's on my YouTube. And then you can, anywhere you get albums, Bandcamp, Spotify, et cetera, Apple Music, all that stuff.
Hell yeah. If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe it, to it. Oh my God. Apple Podcasts, whatever, 5 stars. I don't know. I've done this podcast for so long. I love when I fuck up the outro. But if you write me something nasty hitting on me, I will read it out loud. If you write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com, Mars has to go through it. No dick pics. Okay. So this is a Sonic themed nasty message. Hi, Nicole. Hi, Mars. See, that's nice. To say hello to Mars. Nicole, I want to plow your puss while we dress up as Sonic characters. You'll, of course, be Sonic. I'm going to dress up as Knuckles so I can fist your vajayjay with extra force. Meanwhile, Sonic's voice actor, Ben Schwartz, will be watching us, but he's my friend. And he'll be using the voice to cheer you on. I'm out. And after I have my way with you, I'll use my tail-shaped vibrator to add extra stimulation to your clit, and I'll ramp it up faster and faster until you turn into a rolling speedball like Sonic and crash through the walls, going on as you roll towards the sunset in bliss. Honestly, I only sent this message because Jordan from Best Friends made you so upset suggesting that you have sex to a Sonic movie. Sorry, not sorry about it. Okay, here's why I got upset. Sonic is a child. So it shouldn't, nobody should be, Sonic's, he's a child. Okay, bye-bye.
Why Won't You Date Me? With Nicole Byer is produced by me, Mars. It's executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco. With talent bookings by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Got a question, crazy dating story, or a dirty message for Nicole? Write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com for a chance to have it featured on a future show.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.